Friday, January 31st, 1986. The chapel preacher is Professor Harley Kapitsky. His sermon text is Psalm 65, and his sermon theme, The River of God is Full of Water.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The word of God to which we're directed today, the word which we ourselves would direct to God, is Psalm 65, a word of praise. Praise is due to thee, O God, in Zion, and to thee shall vows be performed. O thou who hearest prayer, to thee shall all flesh come on account of sins. When our transgressions prevail over us, thou dost forgive them. Blessed is he whom thou dost choose and bring near to dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, thy holy temple. By dread deeds thou dost answer us with deliverance. O God of our salvation, who art the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who by thy strength hast established the mountains, being girded with might, who dost still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples, so that those who dwell at earth's farthest bounds are afraid at thy signs. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and the evening to shout for joy. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it. The river of God is full of water. Thou providest their grain, for so thou hast prepared it. Thou waterest its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, blessing its growth. Thou crownest the year with thy bounty. The tracks of thy chariot drip with fatness. The pastures of the wilderness drip. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. This is the text. In the name of him to whom praise is due, yes, overdue, dear friends in Christ. What is there to praise God for during a national week of mourning? Or what is there to praise him for at this time of sadness in our own seminary community? At times like this, special efforts underway, for example, even at, as we hear in the newscast, at Concord, New Hampshire, to de-traumatize the high school students. And the Wednesday newscast was saying specialists are going to be brought in. And then the commentator ended by saying, but what can they say? I think it's at times like this that even we Christians are tempted to cease praising God, are tempted to ask or to think, you know, what is there to praise him for? And here the psalmist can really help us, and we do well to study his words and to make them our own. We do well to talk with the Lord and to speak his praises. They are due, they are certainly overdue from us, because the river of his blessing and of his blessings for and to us overflows. We pray the Spirit's guidance on our meditation. The first thing we note is that we have good cause to praise God as being the hearer and the answerer of prayer. O thou who hearest prayer, to thee shall all flesh come, all men, and including ourselves, we ought certainly recognize that they, that we are absolutely dependent creatures, not independent. We are impotent. We are helpless collectively and individually, and we must therefore all flee to Him as our true and as our final refuge. Otherwise, we can only despair. We can only perish. Sin brought death, despair, and perishing into the world. Before all other needs, there is this matter then of being overwhelmed by our sins, as the Holy Writer states, our transgressions prevailing. This need being first and foremost is the one which he mentions first before all others. Shall we withhold our praise to God for sins forgiven? Are there no transgressions of ours which he has removed? And that before we prayed, before we ask or ever thought of asking, as Luther says, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. How much more shall we not be saved by the life of him, ever living, making intercession for us? Indeed, we have had tons, as the expression goes, tons of sins forgiven, but also our corruptness, our sinfulness has been atoned for. This inherent wicked propensity and evil mother of all actual sins and our chief sin, which we inherited from Adam, has been atoned for. Thank God. Praise God. Again it reads, blessed is he whom thou dost choose and bring near to dwell in thy courts. Who does the choosing? Who does the bringing near? Very different, isn't it, than the synergistic when I gave my life to the Lord. When I invited the Lord into my life. We must stay with the scriptural doctrine and true theology of God's choosing and of God's bringing. For how can dead people choose themselves or bring themselves or repent or believe? This doctrine of original sin is so important, and as our Lutheran confession stated, it is important in order that the merit of Christ and the work of the Holy Ghost be properly known and what? Extolled, praised. In addition to this point, there is the next to be made, namely that we with the psalmist in Israel of old are to encourage ourselves in the blessed consciousness, the blessed awareness that this, our high privilege of having been chosen and having been brought near and having been placed in his courts in this state of grace and salvation is indeed from his pure mercy and grace. How we ought then not rejoice in and continue to enjoy the abundant goodness of God's house. Oh, how satisfied, not dissatisfied, how satisfied we should be, how delighted that we have been brought into the courts of his holy temple, that we are his very own, the sheep of his pasture. Then we will praise him as the one from whom all blessings flow. Dissatisfaction cuts off praise in a hurry. It knows no praise. Dissatisfaction is nothing other than expressed unbelief. Unbelief of God's forgiveness. Unbelief of God's choosing. Unbelief in regard to God's bringing, yes, and also in regard to his preserving. But he does all four. All four. as we believe concerning Tom, preserved in the extremity of his great need and distress. For all that God's grace brings us and preserves to us, we can give him no better thanks and praise than to hunger and thirst after it and satisfy our poor souls with it continually. Such is the purpose and the power of the word of grace which bestows all this and in which is our refuge. A third reason to praise him, the Epiphany theme, O God, of our salvation, you're not only the God of our salvation. You are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, namely of them that dwell there. Thou hast established the mountains. Thou dost still the roaring seas, the tumult of the peoples of the nations. What does that mean? Simply that God, in this world of nature and among men, is the one who is worthy to be praised. And he proves himself to be the one to whom everything and everyone must yield, the one who overthrows and stills proud empires and nations, and the one in whom everyone may hope, so that throughout the world he is the ground of confidence for all who are lost, and he is to be proclaimed as such through the holy merit and doing, dying, rising again of his dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's not forget our common daily bread, temporal blessings, that these also flow from his hand and not ours. Listen again to several verses. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it. The river of God is full of water. Thou providest their grain, for so thou hast prepared it. Thou waterest its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, blessing its growth. Thou crownest the year with thy bounty. The tracks of thy chariot drip with fatness. We have good cause to praise the Lord, to speak praise to our God, and to speak praise of him to one another and others. For also this reason, temporal as well as spiritual, bodily as well as eternal blessings, he is the author and source of every good and perfect gift. Think of the blessings of a day or of a year, of the rain to soften the land, to increase the seed sown. The tracks, it says, of thy chariot drip with fatness. Wherever the chariot of the Lord goes throughout the whole earth, it dispenses fertility. It overflows with abundance. Praise is due thee, O God, in Zion. By Zion, thy river is full of water. We will pay our vows. Our praise shall be overdue no longer. Amen.